Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Today is a Q&A that followed the message on James 1:12, and there are six questions. Number one, when does eternal security begin? Number two, is it correct to say that God provides all we need to persevere, but we can still walk away if we choose? Number three, since we aren't perfect in this life, which means all Christians will continue to sin until the day they die, then what does it mean to persevere to the end? Does anyone do that? Number four, when Matthew says the love of most will grow cold, is that love for people or is that love for God that will grow cold? Number five, doesn't the Bible promise that God will keep us? And number six, why is lack of love for God a greater sin than torturing a little child to death?
When does eternal security begin? Eternal security is not really a biblical phrase, but the security that God promises us begins at conversion. The moment you're converted, there's a great sense of security that we have. Now, there's a debate in Christendom. One side will say that promise that he enables you to persevere, it's not just that he enables you to persevere, he causes you to persevere infallibly, and that promise is absolute and perfect in this life. You get the 100% of that promise in this life. So there's no chance of falling away. The other side would argue, no, that promise is just like so many other promises, like the promise that you'll be delivered from sin. Are you delivered from sin when you become a Christian? Are you delivered from sin? Yeah? Absolute, in an absolute sense? Not really. We're still dealing with sin, right, in this life. When does the absolute part come? Next life. And there's promise after promise in Scripture that's like that. Where are you made to be like Christ when you become a Christian? Yes. In an absolute sense? Not yet. Right? So there's a lot of already but not yet stuff, promises in Scripture. I believe that the promise of preservation is one of those. We have it in great measure. That's why we can continue to believe all the way to the end. We don't have to be afraid. Oh, something's going to happen. It's going to be too much for me. I'm not going to be able to make it. I'll try and I won't be able to make it. We don't have to be afraid of that because He'll always enable us to persevere. But just like He'll always enable us, every sin, He provides a way out. Every temptation, He provides a way out. And that's a great comfort. But does that mean I'm automatically guaranteed to never sin? No. And in the same way, when He provides perseverance, does that mean I'm automatically guaranteed to always persevere? No, not in this life. That's why we have these warnings. So, on the one hand, we take great comfort in the promises. On the other hand, we need to strive to persevere. And the two sides of the debate solve that tension in different ways. But however you solve it in your mind, make sure you persevere. And make sure you don't think of it as only your doing, that you trust God to hold you. Make sure you do both of those. So that's the debate. And both sides of that debate are within the range of Orthodox Christianity. Neither one is heresy. So we don't divide over that in this church. Yeah, I think that's a correct statement. God provides everything I need to persevere, but it is possible to walk away in this life. I would also add something to that, though. He does more than just provide. He works in me to will and to act. And so all of my persevering is His work in me. So if it weren't for God's preserving action on my heart, holding on to me, then I wouldn't be a Christian 5 minutes from now. None of us would. None of us would be able to persevere for 5 minutes without God holding us. So it's a precious doctrine. The doctrine of preservation is a precious doctrine. I believe, though, that Scripture also teaches that in this life we can walk away. Again, not all agree with me on that one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so when you hear, you gotta persevere to the end. And if that hits you like, I need to be perfect, I need to not fail from now until I die, obviously, I mean, we all know that couldn't possibly be what James is saying. So what is he saying? If I'm going to keep stumbling, if my faith is going to keep wavering, if I'm going to keep blowing it from now until the day I die, in what sense could I say that I'm persevering? One word, repentance. Okay? When you stumble, if you're a person that loves God, when you stumble, you'll repent. You'll fall into sin, you'll repent. You'll turn back to Christ. You'll fall, you repent. And if that's your pattern of life, you fall, you repent, you fall, you repent, that is persevering. Failure to persevere is fall and stay down. Don't repent. Walk away from the Lord and don't turn back to the Lord. So, I'm glad you brought that up. You don't have to be perfect. You do have to be repentant. There's two different kinds of people in this world. There's repentant sinners and there's unrepentant sinners. The best I can ever hope to be is in that first group. Repentant sinner. If you've made it to repentant sinner, you have achieved the highest pinnacle of Christianity. You're a super saint. That's great. That's as high as it gets. If you want to get higher than that, sorry. There's not any more vacancies in the Trinity, so you just have to be content to be a repentant sinner in this life. If you want to be rid of your sin altogether, that'll happen in the next life. This is why we don't look down on any category of sinners. You know, somebody commit some really gross immorality, and then they repent, and we the temptation is to brand them, you're second class. No. No. There's not any second class. There's two types of people. There's repentant sinners, there's unrepentant sinners. When somebody's a repentant sinner, we rejoice. Doesn't matter what the sin was, we rejoice. Because they've come back to Christ. Okay, so, yeah, you're right. It doesn't say in the Matthew passage, the love of God grew cold, it just says their love grew cold. However, the reason I take that as including love for God is because if there were no love for God, then their love growing cold, if it weren't love for God, their love growing cold wouldn't matter. They're already lost. And another reason why I take it as love for God is because there has to be a great apostasy. And it seems like the great apostasy prior to the second coming, when Paul says, that hasn't happened yet. The great apostasy hasn't happened. What great apostasy? Well, it seems to be a reference to what Jesus is talking about the love of many growing cold. So it seems like a turning away from God. Also, I think of Ephesus, the church of Ephesus, where they lost their first love. And again, it seems like it must be love for God, because if it wasn't love for God, it wouldn't matter that they lost it. Yeah, Jude 24 promises he will keep you. And that's obviously designed. I mean, it says he's able to keep you. That seems like it's designed to comfort us, right? To make us think, okay, I'm being kept. I'm being kept. He's going to hold on to me. It's not just me hanging on. It's not just a matter of whether I got enough strength to hang on all the way to the end. He's hanging on to me. Obviously, that's designed to comfort us, right? So that we don't think it's totally on us. That's a great, great principle to understand. The doctrine of preservation. God hangs on to you. It's not a matter of you hanging on. It's not just a matter of you, whether or not you can hang on. God hangs on to you. He preserves your faith. The reason you have made it all the way from your conversion until now, still trusting Christ, is attributable to divine, miraculous, awesome, supernatural power holding you. Enabling you to persevere. So that's the great promise that he'll enable us. Exactly. Yeah, the 3-year-old boy thing, the reason it's so despicable is because it's a lack of love for God. I'm not saying, well, that's bad. Lacking love for God is even worse, as if those are two different sins. They're the same sin. The reason that's wicked is because it's... But the reason I said it the way I said it is because we typically look at that thing with the 3-year-old kid and we think it's despicable because of what it did to the kid. And we don't even think about God. And if I sit here and I'm worshiping and we're talking about God's glory and honor and praise and it has no effect on my heart, I've got a sin in me that's really similar to that guy torturing a 3-year-old. And that's what needs to hit me. So you're right. It's designed. Stuff like that is allowed to wake us up to what a horror sin really is. Right, right. Yeah, and I spelled out, I went into some detail on that in the appendix. Yeah, I explained how looking forward to reward honors and glorifies God, and there's a different kind of looking to reward that dishonors God, and we got to make sure we do it the right way. So anyway, we're out of time here, but just say, on the perseverance thing, whatever you however you resolve this, understand that classic Calvinism and Arminianism both agree on the thrust of this sermon. You must persevere to the end in order to receive the crown of life. The Calvinist would say, God will see to it that it happens through warnings like this. That's what Spurgeon said. He said, God uses these warnings in order to make sure it happens, because God's people will read these and say, wow, I need to persevere. So however you take it, don't disregard these kinds of messages, because they're everywhere.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.